2007. This is the last day of February committee. And
oh, that's right.
All of a sudden, we're in March.
Wow.
How time flies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I'd like to do is open a public hearing on 2157. And do I Shannon, would you describe the bill, and if I could have the sign-up sheet?
House Bill 2157 adds the unremarried surviving spouse of the veteran to persons eligible to receive emergency financial assistance by modifying the definition of immediate family.
Great. And we have Paula Brown from the Department of Veteran Affairs, and we might as well bring up Mr. McDonald from the United Veterans of Oregon also. And Paula, would you start us out?
Mr. McDonald hasn't been around in a little while.
Good morning, Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. The purpose of this legislation is to clarify the administration of the Veterans Emergency Financial Assistance Program by the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs and to include veterans, widow and widowers who have not remarried as eligible recipients of funds from the program. The 73rd Legislative Assembly created the Oregon Veterans Emergency Financial Assistance Program to provide emergency financial assistance to Oregon veterans and their immediate family members for needs that include but are not limited to emergency or temporary housing, medical or dental, transportation, expenses related to starting a business, such as business licenses. The result of the funds dispersed to veterans and their families has literally meant the difference between having housing, not having housing, having a comfortable environment to live in with functioning utilities, and quite frankly, dental needs being treated or going untreated. We've actually had veterans who, as a result of emergency financial assistance, have been able to obtain the dentures that they so desperately needed to be able to simply enjoy their meals once again. House Bill 2157 amends the necessary statute to allow widows and widowers to be recipients of those funds. Those widows and widowers would receive a benefit that resulted from their deceased loved one's military service. The department supports this legislation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Just one that I have. What happens if they remarry? What happens to the benefits?
Chair Mona Sanderson, that's a very good question. This is specifically for unremarried widows and widowers. If they were to remarry, they would no longer be eligible for the financial assistance, which is consistent with federal VA benefit programs. Typically, if the widow or widower remarries, they no longer are eligible for the federal program, and we decided to make the state program consistent with that.
What happens if they... if the widower or widow starts a business and then they remarry?
Chair Mona Sanderson, the department would make no attempt to recapture any federal or any emergency assistance was provided prior to the marriage.
Great. Thank you, Senator Carter.
Is this a pot of money that has been set aside at the Veterans Administration, where if something happens to a veteran, the widow was already eligible for these funds?
Chair Mona Sanderson and Senator Carter, this is a specific program, so this actually has a policy option package included in the department's budget in the amount of $500,000. Currently, widows and widowers of veterans receive services at the Department of Veterans Affairs, claims assistance,
okay,
those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So they're already taken care of there. In fact, one of the bills you'll see later in your agenda addresses that to clarify. to clarify that, those services. But this would specifically be a separate program. Started last session, $500,000 were appropriated to the department for that purpose, and we will exhaust all of those funds before the end of the biennium.
I think that is great. That's great.
Yes. Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony and for your work. I'm of the belief that veterans and their family members should not have to stand in line or wait for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, I'd like to know how many veterans have been served by the program created by the last legislature. And is there a report that outlines where financial assistance has been given, so we have some sense of how this effort is working, and also any indication of how much more we may need to invest to make sure that the needs of veterans are being met?
Chair Monis Anderson and Senator Gordley, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your vocalizing your support of veterans. We do have a report. Unfortunately, I don't have that with me. It has been literally hundreds of veterans and their families. We have a report that shows every veteran that was assisted and the emergency need that was met, and I would be happy to provide that to this committee.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
If you could get it to our administrator, Shannon, and then she can get it to the rest of us.
Senator
Gordley hit on something I thought was important in terms of reinvestments.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen, Ms. Brown? Because I heard you also say that you will exhaust all the use of these funds by year's end. Then what happens? Is there something the legislature needs to do to help facilitate this? Is there a bill in the works? I mean, what's going on?
Chair Monis Anderson and Senator Carter, there is a policy option package in the department's budget, so provided that moves forward, support of the department's budget with that policy option mm-hmm. package included would be very, very helpful. The funds will be exhausted before the end of this biennium.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no more funds for emergency financial assistance unless the policy option package is, unless funds are appropriated to the department in its budget for the next biennium.
Follow up?
Yes.
The reason I'm asking this, I am feeling anxious already about returning members from Afghanistan and Iraq and from other places around the world where our veterans are coming home. And I don't see us as a society having in place the kind of finances going to help them to readjust in society. So I'm hoping that in your policy option package, there is an anticipated amount that would help meet the needs of these returning veterans, because it's quite sad to say many of the conditions that we're seeing that they're coming back home in.
Chair Monis Anderson and Senator Carter, that's a very, very good point. There could be some concern that $500,000 will not be sufficient
mm-hmm.
because one of the allowable uses of the emergency financial assistance dollars is to provide bridge monies or transition funds for returning service members who need a little bit of a little assistance to kind of get back on their feet after military service. So it can be a monthly amount to help them establish themselves again, help them get to employment. I mean, sometimes, quite frankly, the emergency assistance has meant the difference between having a car that worked to get them to work, maybe having clothes that were appropriate to go for their job interviews. So certainly our returning service members are among those who have these needs, and the department could find itself in a situation that the $500,000, if approved and appropriated to the department in its budget, wouldn't be sufficient and would then be faced with the option of going to the emergency board.
That is a ways and means, and that's not germane to this bill.
Right.
And so although that the conversation is extremely important, I'd like to stick with this bill and make sure that
yes.
ways and
we'll talk with
yes, Chair. So is there any other questions for Ms. Brown?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
and with all due respect to what you've just said about the distinction between policy and ways and means, I would like to suggest that our committee could send a message to Ways and Means indicating that this is a critical issue and that there may be a need to look at the sufficiency of the funds requested in the policy option package, and that with that said, that we want to see a fund that is sufficient to meet the needs mm-hmm. of veterans.
What we'll do is if there is a bill that is needed to get more money into that fund now, we should pursue that. So if you would let us know regarding that, and then we will definitely want to get that down to Ways and Means, because there should be no reason why we cannot help these people. All right?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, yeah. Madam Chair, just clarification on what Senator Gordley said. I guess it would be the notice from this committee to Ways and Means that that this addition has been made, and they need to be mindful of that when they're looking at the budget. Is that?
We're also looking at the need to anticipate that there may be more need
right.
than is being requested in the policy option.
Because of the addition of who is because of the additional eligibility.
Not just in terms of the additional eligibility, but because of the fact that we have more and more veterans returning
right.
who have needs that may call into question the sufficiency of the dollars that we're looking to allocate.
Madam Chair, I would hate to intercede, but what is customary is that you, as the chair of this committee, would advise your committee administrator to send a letter to mm-hmm. Ways and Means regarding this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Right.
But we would like to have the report before we send. I would like to have that report and then run that by the committee before we send the letter. But if you could do that soon,
Chair Monis-Anderson, you'll have it today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. McDonald.
My name is Matt McDonald, and I represent the United Veterans of Oregon, which is every federally chartered veterans organization in the state, and some that are not chartered. Basically, on this bill and all the bills you're going to hear this morning, we support each one of them. And on 2162, we also vigorously support the amendment that General Austin will make to that bill.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to close the public hearing on 2157. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2157.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I move House Bill 2157 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Gordley has moved House Bill 2157 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Carter.
Aye.
Senator Courtney.
Yes.
Senator Cruz.
Aye.
Senator Gordley.
Aye.
Chair Montes Anderson.
Aye. Motion passed. I'll close the work session 2157. I'd like to open a work session on 2158. The carrier. Yes. Senator Gordley, would you like to carry this?
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's open a public hearing on 2158. And if I can have the list. And I assume Paula Brown.
House Bill 2158 modifies the role of the Advisory Committee to the Director of Veterans Affairs.
Chair Monis-Anderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. House Bill 2158 has the purpose of making technical adjustments to gain statutory consistency. We consider this a housekeeping bill. The Governor's Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee consists of 9 war veterans who are appointed by the Governor to act in an advisory capacity. The responsibility is articulated in ORS 406.210. House Bill 2158 is supported by the Governor's Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee and would help accomplish the housekeeping effort we're undertaking. If passed, it will gain consistency in the statute. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony and would be happy to answer any questions.
Yes. Has there been a problem up to now with getting the consent and approval of the advisory committee?
Chair Monis-Anderson, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. In the statute, you might notice, if you've seen it, it talks about the approval of. We're simply changing that to the advice of, because the advisory committee does act in advisory capacity. We consult with the advisory committee on virtually all of the activities of the agency that would affect our programs and services, and there's never been any issue with working out any discussion about anything. We have never had any problem with gaining the approval needed.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Okay, you might as well just stay there. I will close the public hearing on 2158, and I'd like to open a work session on 2158.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move House Bill 2158 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Gourley moves House Bill 2158 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Cordy?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Gourley?
Aye.
Chair
Monis-Anderson? Aye. Motion carries, and I'd like Senator Cruz to carry this bill. And I close work session on House Bill 2158, and I would like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2159, and I assume it is Paula Brown again.
House Bill 2159 deletes the monetary limit on farm loans to veterans.
Chair Monis-Anderson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. The purpose of this legislation is to remove language that pertains to monetary limits on farm loans for veterans. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs has been making home loans to qualified veterans since 1945, when the Oregon legislature created the department, for the purpose of offering home loans to World War II veterans and to assist these returning veterans with obtaining veterans benefits to which they were entitled. Since 1945, the department has made more than 333,000 home loans with a positive economic impact to the state of more than $7.4 billion. If passed, this legislation would amend ORS 407.205. It's a housekeeping measure. It would delete the language that provides for a monetary limit of $185,000 for farm loans. Due to a change in the federal tax laws, the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs is no longer able to lend against any sort of income-producing property. We can, however, make a loan on the home portion of an agricultural or farm property. For your information, the current maximum home loan amount is $417,000, quite different from the amount that was allowed in 1945. With that, I will conclude my testimony and would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I know my father had bought his house for $19,000 after World War II, and he's still kicking, but we valued his house at close to $300,000 now, so there is a huge, huge difference. Any further discussion on this bill? Anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this bill? All right, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2159 and open a work session on House Bill 2159.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2159 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gourley moves House Bill 2159 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Cordy?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Gourley?
Aye.
Chair Monis-Anderson?
Aye. Motion carries. Senator Carter, will you carry this bill?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I will close the work session on House Bill 2159. I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2160. Shannon.
House Bill 2160 deletes provisions permitting the Director of Veterans Affairs to contract for attorney services for war veterans. It expands the rulemaking authority of the Department of Veterans Affairs and expands the role of the advisory committee to the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Ms. Brown.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. The purpose of this legislation is to abolish an unused, unfunded program and the requirement for a corresponding annual report. During the 1985 legislative session, House Bill 2769 was passed to provide Oregon War veterans with an appropriate legal counsel in the preparation, presentation, and prosecution of claims for veterans benefits from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or what's commonly referred to as the federal VA. The legislation, which was permissive and not mandatory, was passed without an identified funding source. The department's test case proposal was approved at an amount of $25,000 other fund dollars. The program was made available in July of 1986, with information being distributed in a number of different ways, including press releases and other venues. No funds were expended for payments to attorneys at no request for service, as no request for services were received. Annual reports have been submitted since that time to report no activity on the program. It's important to note that this program came into existence prior to the existence of the Court of Veterans Appeals. Since the inception of the Court of Veterans Appeals, numerous pro bono attorneys have come forward to provide assistance to veterans before the court. There's no anticipation that this program will be used in the future, and if passed, House Bill 2160 would repeal the statutory language that that reports on this program and the annual report that the department is making. And with that, I will conclude my testimony and would be happy to answer any questions.
Just a statement.
Senator Carter?
You know, what this tells me is that we had such a confusing state in our country after Vietnam, and it tells me how much you guys are working with our veterans to try to make things more amicable and people being much more pleasing with each other and stuff of that nature, so that people won't have to have attorneys, that you protect their interests within the agency itself. And so I'm very pleased to hear that and to see something, because I was here in 1986 when we passed this bill. So I'm really, really glad to see this happening. Thank you.
Is this a bill that was going to have, Mr. McDonald had an amendment for?
No.
All right. Any further discussion on this bill? All right. I'd like to close the public hearing on House Bill 2160. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2160.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2160 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gordley moves House Bill 2160 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Carter?
Yes.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Chair Monis Anderson?
Aye. Motion carries. Senator Gordley, would you carry this?
Yes.
All right. I will close the work session on House Bill 2160, and I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2161. Shannon.
House Bill 2161 expands the rulemaking authority of the Department of Veterans Affairs. It expands the role of the advisory committee. Wait. Sounds similar to the Veterans Affairs, and adds spouses and survivors of deceased veterans to persons that a director of Veterans Affairs may assist.
Ms. Brown.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, I suppose I should probably thank you for allowing me to be here so much today and for listening to me. I appreciate that very much. For the record, my name is Paula Brown, the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and the purpose of this legislation is to clarify the inclusion of spouses and survivors of deceased veterans among those for whom the department is responsible for serving. House Bill 2161 modifies the statute to include spouses and survivors, along with veterans and their dependents. Currently, the department does provide services to veterans, their dependents, and survivors, which includes widows and widowers. However, it's not specifically clear in the statute, and that's the purpose of this legislation. This legislation updates the rulemaking authority of the Department of Veterans Affairs to cover chapters 406, 407, and 408. If you'll notice in the statute currently, as legislation has been passed, each of those particular individual
pieces have been included. 406, 407, and 408 would simply include all of those without the requirement to go back and continue to update that. If passed, this would help ensure veteran spouses and survivors receive the services they so richly deserve. As I indicated, they're currently receiving those services. Clarifying it in the statute would remove any question in the future that they should be included in receiving those services. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony and answer any questions.
Is there any questions? It's pretty straightforward. All right, I'd like to close the public hearing on House Bill 2161. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2161.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2161 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Gordley moves House Bill 2161 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Cruz, would you please carry this?
Happy to, Madam Chair.
All right. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2161. And I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2162.
House Bill 2162 extends the outreach services provided by county veteran service officers to survivors of veterans.
And Ms. Brown and Mr. McDonald. I mean Austin. Sorry. I don't have my list in front of me to say who's to come up here. 2162.
Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director at the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. The purpose of this legislation is to clarify existing statutory language relative to the inclusion of veteran survivors as being eligible to receive assistance from county veteran service officers. Again, county veteran service officers are currently providing assistance to these individuals. The purpose of this is a housekeeping bill to ensure that the statute reflects what the intention of the legislature has been, and so that county veteran service officers are clear that that's who they're assisting. There are no instances that I'm aware of that they're not already receiving those services. I contacted the president of the Oregon County Veteran Service Officer Association prior to working on a legislative concept to address this issue, and they were in full support. Veterans or dependents and survivors obtain federal, state, and other benefits through the assistance of veteran service officers in Oregon. Veteran service officers include county veteran service officers from the department, and veterans organization national service officers. The 73rd Legislative Assembly directed the department to establish a program to enhance and expand services provided by county veteran service officers. Again, this is a housekeeping measure to ensure that those survivors are eligible to receive those services from county veteran service officers. And I'll conclude my testimony and be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Cruz.
Thank you. And I apologize, Madam Chair, for missing some of the testimony on the first bill. The first bill dealt with unremarried surviving spouses, and the last two bills have not mentioned unremarried surviving spouses. They just add spouses. I'm wondering if that's an oversight, or are we talking apples and oranges here?
Chair Mona Sanderson and Senator Cruz, that's a very good question. Really, the only area that we've had that question come up has been with the Emergency Financial Assistance Program. Typically with the County Veteran Service Officers and National Service Officers, they're very clear on the definition of survivor that does include the widows and widowers. And we actually did include a section here that gives a definition of a survivor so that it means the spouse or dependent of a deceased veteran. So we would cover that issue if needed. And that's actually included in House Bill 2162 on line 5 and 6. I didn't include that in my testimony, and I apologize for that, but we did include that clarification it is included in the bill. It doesn't specifically say the unremarried spouse.
Right.
But they would be included.
They would be included.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that.
Thank you.
I was understanding.
Mm-hmm. And to get it on record. Thank you, Mr. Austin.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, thank you very much for allowing me to be here today. For the record, my name is Starl Austin. I serve as a member of the Governor's Advisory Committee as the Director of Veterans Affairs. I also served as director for 4 years back in the early 80s, and I served at the military department as a deputy adjutant general for 17 years. I'm here today. I fully support 2162. I don't want to read the testimony that I've given you. I'll just summarize it. The things that Paula has described are needed. I live in Salem. I'm the only one in the advisory committee that lives in Salem, and I get a lot of phone calls from people who need help. I refer them to the department, which is where they need to go, but I know there are people out there who do need that kind of help and who are asking for it, and they should have it. My primary reason for coming today is to ask you to consider an amendment to this bill. I intended to present this at the House when the House Veterans Committee heard the bill. It came up on rather short notice there, and I was unable to be in attendance that day, so it didn't get done. So I'm here today to ask you to consider an amendment. And the primary reason, veterans service has been in Salem, in Marion and Polk counties, actually, provided almost from the beginning by the Department of Veterans Affairs and not by a county veteran service officer. Marion and Polk counties don't appoint county veteran service officers because the veterans building is right here and it has service officers. Those service officers in most of the history of the department have been supported by money that the department earned by making loans to veterans. Bond arbitrage money, if you will. The federal government has changed their rules, and that money now cannot be used to provide service. It can only be used to support the home loan program. So there, as of now, there is no way that the department can support veterans from Marion and Polk counties without taking it out of their hide, in effect, taking the money that's given them to run their service division, which supports all the county service officers, and in addition to doing that, providing support to Marion and Polk County veterans. And it's the language in this bill provided the vehicle that I needed to come in and talk about this. The House Senate Bill 1100 of last session, you may remember that, was one of the nicest things that the legislature ever did for the Department of Veterans Affairs because it provided money for service, for outreach. But the language of that bill, which has now been codified into the ORSs, specifically eliminates the counties that don't have county veteran service officers. That's Marion and Polk counties. What I would like to do is change a couple of lines in the bill so that the Director of Veterans Affairs can retain for his use and use to support Marion and Polk counties the amount that they would otherwise get through the distribution that was provided by Senate Bill 1100. Right now he can keep 6% of the amount that those two counties would normally get. It has to be used for a specific purpose, which does not allow him to do any outreach in these two counties. It's a matter of fairness that Marion and Polk County veterans need the same service that other veterans get in the state. And right now we don't. I'm a Marion County veteran. So I have, of course, because I know the department, I go up there. But some people don't unless they call and ask, and then they do. On the last page of my testimony, I've just given you a section of the ORS that needs to be changed. And it's, if I can get my pages turned, 406.454, the distribution formula rules. And paragraph 1, sub C, retention of an amount not to exceed 6% of the total amount appropriated to the director. Well, I would like to line out not to exceed 6% of the total amount so that the director can then retain the money that's allocated, the share of the money that's allocated that should be serving Marion and Polk County veterans. And then there are two additional paragraphs which clarify how he has to use that money. The the highlighted or the dark ones. And that, this is where I'm trying to go. I hope you'll consider it. I think it's an issue of fairness. And with that, I'll just answer any questions you might
have. I'd like to know what the Department of Veterans Affairs, if they have a position on this amendment.
Chairman Sanderson and members of the committee, the amendment proposed by Starl Austin, former director of Veterans Affairs, it would be definitely supported by the department. It would allow for funding that is needed for those veteran services and would also expand upon what those funds can be used for. As Star Austin indicated, there's only a couple of things right now. It's the use of those funds are limited to a couple of areas. The inclusion of outreach and services to veterans would enhance those services being provided. I can tell you that with the retention of the 6% last session, Senate Bill 1100, the department retained none of those funds. The department felt it was very important to get those funds out to the counties to allow them to enhance and expand their services. But yes, the department would support this amendment.
And, of course, this would be, again, a Ways and Means question regarding what kind of dollar amount are we talking about, and is this general fund money?
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, yes, it is general fund dollars. The department has approximately 2.68, a little more than that, included in our budget request and is also included in the governor's budget. Whether there are other efforts to increase those amounts, I can't speak to those. I support the governor's budget and the amount that's included in there, and it's 2.68, a little more than that.
Well, what we can do is have an amendment drafted and then get a fiscal on that and then bring it back to committee to discuss.
Chairman Sanderson, if I may respond as well, the basic effect with the amount that's in the current budget request would reduce a little bit the amount that goes to the other counties because it would be spread over 36 counties instead of 34 counties. Mm-hmm. But the money that was the Senate Bill 1100 money from the last session is in the approved governor's budget this time.
Thank you.
Yes,
Senator Gordley and then Senator Carter.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Austin, thank you very much for your service and also for your presence today. In your written testimony, you also talk about how the amendment would apply to Multnomah County. Could you talk about that briefly for us on the record as well, the application to Multnomah County?
Chair Mona Sanderson, Senator Gordley, thank you. Multnomah County there have been some discussions, I would say, with Multnomah County. Multnomah County has the largest population of veterans in the state. Multnomah County, at the time Senate Bill 1100 was passed, had one three-quarter-time service officer serving the county and essentially buried so deeply in their county Department of Services to the Aging and Disabled that no veteran could find him. So they go to the federal building downtown Portland where the Department of Veterans Affairs and the major military or major veterans organizations have veteran service officers, and they get their service there. Mm-hmm. That veteran, when Senate Bill 1100 was passed, they did increase that person to full-time. Mm-hmm. He's still buried. You can't find him in the phone book. You can't find him on their county website. And most of the veterans that are none of the veterans that are coming home from the Afghanistan or Iraq or even the Gulf War and those others that have come home recently would even think about going to services for aging and disabled to find veterans help. Mm-hmm. So they go to the federal building where the federal VA is also located. There's a potential, at least, that Multnomah County will not replace that service officer. He's retiring, I believe, next month. If they do, fine, they will continue to get their service. If they don't appoint a new one, then that would allow the director to add a person to his staff in Portland and provide that outreach service to Multnomah County. It would be up to the county and the director to decide how they're going to handle that.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be important when we bring the amendment back to discuss that we ask Multnomah County to come also to talk about the amendment. And yes. So, Shannon, and we could do that. Yes, Senator Courtney. Oh, no, Senator Carter and then Senator Courtney.
I'll yield.
Yeah, Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Senator Sanderson, Senator Carter. General, I'm confused. So Marion Polk counties rely on the State Department of Veteran Affairs located here in Salem to get the assistance our veterans in this area do, assistance which they ordinarily would get from a county service officer if they were in one of the other 34 counties. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling me?
Senator Mona Sanderson, Senator Courtney, yes, that is correct. There is nobody in Marion or Polk counties designated to provide that kind of service.
And these county service officers, they're chosen or they're appointed through their county commissioners. Is that how it's done?
Yes, sir. That's how it's done. There's an interesting law on the books that is probably not being used tells the counties that they may, it doesn't say they shall, they may appoint a service officer, but also tells them to assess a tax to support that service officer. I'm not sure the state ought to be supporting them at all, but I'm glad we do.
In Multnomah County, it's more or less the same thing in a way, because the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has a building close by and some federal building up there. Is that the same thing?
Yes. Yes.
So if a county wants to opt out of this program, they can just walk away from it, and the veterans in that county are going to have to find the same services someplace else. Is that right?
Right. Yes. Senator Mona Sanderson, Senator Courtney, there is one option which we've talked about. I don't know whether it's a good one or not, is to, instead of saying the counties may appoint a service officer, is to say the counties shall.
Well, Marion County is my county.
I know, it's mine too.
So is in Polk County, because I live in the Mid Valley, mm-hmm. And I find this very interesting.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say about it this time. I just find it very interesting.
Yes, Chair Mona Sanderson, yes. And Senator Courtney and members of the committee, if I may, just to emphasize the point that Mr. Austin is making, is that the amendment that he is proposing would allow the retention of funds that would otherwise go to a county if they had a county veteran service officer. So any county that has a county veteran service officer would receive those funds. What it would allow is for the department the ability, if the county, for whatever reason, chooses not to have a county veteran service officer, then the funds that would have gone to the county to fund those services to veterans then would be, the Department of Veterans Affairs would be allowed to retain those to provide those services to veterans in those counties. Mm-hmm.
Chairman Sanderson, mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, I find it just very, I'm just going to say, I find it's quizzical to me, mm-hmm. that two counties opt out and a third, sort of in an interesting way, almost opts out, because they happen to be located in an area where they can say, well, go to the State Veterans Affairs Office here, and or go to the federal bill. I don't know why I'm making a big deal of this, but I'm surprised there aren't members right here, not asking some pretty serious questions. The bottom line is we want the veterans taken care of. Absolutely. Let's get that straight right here and now, however it's done. But I heard these county officers were great. I heard this was a wonderful program. We desperately did a good thing last session. They really get the services out. That's what I've heard about this program. I mean it. So I don't know. I'm glad you're setting it over and not making me vote on it right today, because I need some time to digest some of this.
And Chair Mona Sanderson and the committee as a whole, I mean, if you need other information, I would be glad to.
Well, what we'll do is I'll direct our staff, Shannon, to get the amendment drafted and work with you and I assume the department, would you be a part of the drafting too?
We would be happy to.
And then send it down, like I said, to legislative, fiscal, and see how that will impact. So we have all that information, and then also wanting to talk with Multnomah County to get their views on how they're implementing the program. Senator Carter.
Ms. Brown, can you tell me if the monies that you give to the county are these state general fund dollars?
Chairman Honest Anderson and Senator Carter, yes, they're general fund dollars.
Can you tell me why are we paying for county services through state dollars?
Senator Carter, there's a statute that provides for aid to counties, which indicates that counties that have services to veterans are eligible for aid to county program funds. And so funds are included in the department's budget for that purpose.
So this was something that was done some time ago in statute?
That is correct. Aid to County Programs has been around for many, many years. Senate Bill 1100 last session was separate and specific for enhancing.
Oh, do I remember Senate Bill 1100? Ms. Brown, can you tell me how much allocation right now that we use that goes to counties for? And Madam Chair, I pray your indulgence because I know this is not Ways and Means, but it is an issue that comes.
You are a Ways and Means person.
That comes to this policy committee. Can you tell me how much allocation we are now using for however many counties that we have?
Chairman Sanderson, Senator Carter, I would feel more comfortable actually providing you with a document that shows you exactly what those dollars are. Then you could see the exact dollars per county. Because veterans' population is different in counties, I would feel more comfortable providing that to the committee.
And that will come with
the
report?
I would be happy to provide that as well. Yeah.
Chairman Sanderson, can I make a comment as well to Senator Carter?
Can you speak to that, Ms. Dawson? Because I'm going to come to you in just a few minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a question in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Ms. Brown, can you tell me that how is it that if Multnomah County chooses not, upon the retirement of its county officer, decide that they want to stay in, but legislation today will stop Multnomah County from receiving funds? And what I have in Mr. Austin's letters, the language in my proposal would allow Multnomah County to stop employing a county service officer. And how could the department support something of that nature when indeed the Multnomah County has not decided to opt out, but this legislation requests that?
Chairman Sanderson, Senator Carter, that is a very, very good question. And the answer to that question is the department would only retain funds for counties that chose not to have a county veteran service officer. If Multnomah County chooses to continue to have a county veteran service officer and a veteran services program, all of the funds that would have gone to Multnomah County would continue to go to Multnomah County. Funds would only come to the department if Multnomah County chose not to have a county veteran service officer.
So then, Madam Chair, the only reason I can support any amendment that this limitation is not placed in statute upon Multnomah County. Mr. Austin, why do you feel it necessary to stop Multnomah County from having these funds, even though the federal office is there, but Multnomah County can say to you, you have the state office here. So Multnomah and Marion and Polk is in a unique kind of situation where both of you are close to a state institution and a federal institution, both giving Marion Polk and Multnomah some added advantages.
Chairman Anderson, Senator Carter, I'm not trying to say that. If I misspoke, I apologize.
Okay.
Because my purpose and my intent was to say that only if Multnomah County chose not to pursue the appointment of a new county service officer to replace the one who's planning to retire, then I want the department to be in the position to do that job that he would otherwise do.
Okay. Okay, so there is no limitation.
There is nothing against Multnomah County, and it's probably it would have been better if I hadn't mentioned Multnomah County at all, but it is a potential situation, and I have talked to Mr. Willis, the director at the department, and he has indicated that if that should happen, he could provide that service in Multnomah County.
Right. The only reason I'm asking this question, members of the committee, is that it was such a contentious issue the last time, and I don't want that to flare to this level.
I could enlarge on that a little bit. Senate Bill 1100, after the bill passed, I don't know whether the direction came from the Ways and Means Committee but there was a task force appointed to study the distribution formula.
Mm-hmm.
Marla Ray, who used to be the assistant to the Attorney General, was the moderator of that. I served on that task force along with Senator Johnson and several number of other people with backgrounds in the veterans business. But there was a long discussion, and a report was finally made to Ways and Means, which you probably received a copy of. And Multnomah County, because they only had one three-quarter time service officer, only received the basic distribution. They did not receive a distribution of funds based on the number of veterans in the county, because they weren't providing service to the number of veterans they have in the county. It was being provided at the federal building by, there are three kinds of service officers at the federal building. The federal government is there. The State Department of Veterans Affairs has maintained an office in that federal building for as long as I can remember. It was there before I became director in 1980. And the national veterans organizations, the Legion, the VFW, the Military Order, the Purple Heart, I'm leaving some out, I know, but they all have national service officers who have offices in that building and who are available to veterans to help them get their benefits.
Well, General, you know what? You have valiantly served this country, and I would never contradict anything you say, just clarifying some questions, though that I respect very much the contribution you have made to this country.
Thank you. I don't want to argue with you at all. I'm not trying to.
Great job. Thank you so much.
And I normally do not use my military rank when I talk about veterans.
You didn't. We just happen to know it.
I know.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this? There's someone in the audience that would want to come forward. And then we will be bringing this bill back after we have an amendment.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I think it should be noted.
State for the record who you are.
My name is Matt McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. I think it should be noted that Multnomah County spends less than $1 per veteran on veteran services. Tillamook County spends $22.50 per veteran for veteran services, and Multnomah County is by far the lowest as far as providing funds to support veteran services of any county in the state of Oregon.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, Senator.
How much money does Polk County and Marion County spend?
Marion County and Polk County, we go to the ODVA on 700 Summer Street for services, and they've been very, very good.
That's state?
Right.
So the county doesn't spend any money?
The county does not have a county veteran service officers, and when people call me, I send them over.
My point is, what I don't understand is, even though services are services, that's the bottom line, get the services there. You just mentioned Tillamook County is 22-something. Multnomah County is 1. I mean, I'm not going to get into that little disparity, but I asked about my counties, and you say they don't spend any. Thankfully, we have at least the office right down the street here.
Where they spend money, but it's not for county veteran service officers.
That's okay. I
live in Polk County, and when people call me and ask for where do I go to get services, I had a call last night from a widow lady, and I sent them to room 150 at 700 Summer Street down here at ODVA.
Right.
And it works well, Senator.
Okay.
I've had no complaints of the service there. In fact,
I'm not. In no way should any of my questions be leading to any conclusions that I think the services on Summer Street are not good or effective. That's not what I find puzzling. That's all, and it's something I'm going to have to think about and do some investigating on my own prior to when we get back to this bill. So that's all. I'm not trying to argue with you in any way, Mr. McDonald. I have 36 counties.
Right,
and 34 of them have these officers, 2 of them don't.
I think one thing that the committee should look at is the amount of money spent per veteran in each of the counties, and you'll find there's a wide variance between the less than $1 out of Multnomah County and, as I said, Tillamook County. There's a wide variance in the amount of money and the amount of support veterans get at the various counties.
Senator Gordley.
Thank you very much. And in addition to looking at that question, and thank you for bringing that information forward, I would like to understand, again, looking at all 36 counties and staffing adequacy, what is the level of adequacy to meet the needs and demands of those requiring a service on any given day? I mean, what does that adequacy look like? Where are we falling short? I go back to my beginning statement, which is...
The only place that I've heard that we're really falling short is Multnomah County, because they have one person, he's buried at the bottom of the aging and disabled agency, where 50% of the veterans are less than 55 years of age today in the state, and they don't want to go there. And I talked to a young female captain who was a helicopter pilot in Iraq yesterday, and she lives in the county, and she says, I won't go there. I can't find him. Number one, I call him and I don't get answers back, and I go to the federal building.
So is it accurate to say that with the exception of Multnomah County, in every other county, veterans are able to get service on demand?
As far as I know, but Paula Brown would be better able to answer the question than I would.
If she could, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Please.
Chair Monis Anderson and Senator Gordley, what might be helpful to the committee, because I can tell this is a very interesting subject to you and you would like to have more information, one of the things I would be happy to do is to give you just a sheet that lets you know how many service officers are located in each county. Currently, with the Senate Bill 1100 funds, the counties came up with a plan to enhance and expand their services in the county. For some counties, that meant hiring additional staff. For some counties, that meant purchasing needed computer equipment. So each county came up with a plan for what they believed would be the best plan of expanding and enhancing services in that county. So, but I would be happy if it would be helpful to the committee. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you in each county how many service officers they have. I do have that information at my office and would be happy to provide that.
Follow up?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And that information would be helpful. And again, the other piece of information that I'm trying to discern is, in addition to knowing the numbers of staff we have, are we able to meet the demand? At the time a veteran has a need, are we able to meet that veteran and that need when that request comes? Or do we have waits? And if we have waits for what? And for what period of time? I go back to what I said at the beginning. My belief or position is that veterans shouldn't have to wait for anything. There should be no lines for veterans. And so that's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm disturbed to hear about the situation in Multnomah County. And I look forward to having conversation here and wherever with, my county folks about the situation there. But that's what I'm trying to get at.
Senator Gordley, I'd be happy to provide that. And I think that one of the things worth noting in Multnomah County is I do believe that the Multnomah County Veterans Service Office does rely on the service officers that are located in the federal building for providing services to veterans. It was one of the issues that the task force took a look at, or the work group, is how many service officers were located in each of the counties, including Multnomah. Some are county veteran service officers, some are state, some are through the veterans organizations. So I'll include that information on that sheet that I provide, and I would like to say that I appreciate General Austin's interest and bringing forward that amendment. I know that his intentions are meant well, and I think that it was very good that he made no mention of specific counties in the statute, because it would be important to ensure that any county that wanted to have their county veteran service officer program was able to do that if the legislature decides that funding of that program should occur, because they do provide a very needed service in the state of Oregon. They do receive their training through the Department of Veterans Affairs and do a good job with what they're doing. And their expanded and enhanced services as a result of those additional funds was very much needed and has resulted in very good outcome for veterans in Oregon.
It's so you say you will be able to give us information on how the counties are spending their money.
We have a plan from each of the counties
on
how they were going
to
do that, and I can provide that as well.
And I want to provide a couple of stories, very brief. I was a public health nurse, and one of my very first patients in the state of Virginia, where I started my nursing career, was into a home where there was this man, and he had wounds on his legs filled with maggots. And it was, for my first patient, it was very difficult for me to handle it, but at least I had a mentor with me. We found out he was, this was in the 80s, early 80s, that he was a Vietnam veteran. He had been lost in the system. He was definitely had post-traumatic stress syndrome. We got them into the VA immediately. It's an hour and a half away from where we were. But these are the types of things. I know this is a very, very dramatic situation, but when I had my second vet on my caseload, it was in Multnomah County, again, he didn't have the wounds that this other one did, but he definitely needed to be hooked up. And I think that there are probably very many vets out there that are in this same situation. And for us to not have services blazing neon signs showing where they should be, I think that's critical. I'm just appalled, actually, at what's come out of this committee. So I would like to pursue this further.
Okay.
With that, we will close the public hearing on 2101, and we are adjourned.